Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, you're listening to the Garden of Enlightenment
with Louie Wildove and Grey Eyes Smith. Tonight's show is brought to you from a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available on amazon.com under the same moniker of Late Night Poets. So feel free to check those out and help support these shows. That said, tonight's show is based on a quote by Alfred Tennyson, and it goes, "If I had a flower for every time I thought of you, I would walk through my garden forever," Alfred Tennyson. And so that's the gist of tonight's show. Okay, now I'm going to check the studio here and see what we've got. Okay. Hello, area code 585. Is that you, Mark?
Yes, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Good to hear your voice. Thank you for calling in. I'm going to bring on another caller here. Thank you. And co-host, Louie Wildove. Hallelujah.
No, you're my co-host.
Right?
Yeah, you're making trouble already. Hey, Ron, right. Wouldn't be a Monday without that gorgeous voice of yours. Ooh, rooster's on here.
The horse these days, you know, it's interesting listening to that music before the show started. I'm going, that Wildove, what is she doing, giving us a little bit of this up-tempo beat? I said, I wonder how Wildove translates in French. And it's Colombe Sauvage. I think that's very, very apt. Colombe Sauvage.
Pretty. Yeah. That is so cool.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, I've got another caller here. Area code 919, who's calling, please? Hello, area code 919.
Yeah, there's going to be several
Keith
people
Pale
that are
Thorpe
new.
From 919.
Who's calling? Who is this?
It's Keith Palethorpe from All Poetry.
Hi, Keith. How you doing? Welcome, welcome to the show. I'm going to be excited to hear
you
read for your poem for the first time. Welcome, Keith.
I'm using all of the technology of our daughter. We're at a wedding in Durham, North Carolina.
Oh, okay. So you need to read right away so that you can go back to your wedding, I imagine.
Oh, no, not necessarily, no.
Okay, all right. Well, then, welcome to the show. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to post the first poem up a moment, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Keith, hold on a second. Keith, are you, I don't know if you're a member of Late Night Poets.
I haven't become a member yet.
Okay, well, I will send you an invitation, so whenever you would like to. That way you can call in and read whenever you want to and participate. Gray, is it possible for you to open another window for Keith so that you can send him the link since he's not in Late Night Poetry?
Okay, sure.
Okay, his poem on the reading list is titled Marvelous, and he's going to also do a surprise reading of, oh, my gosh, it just went out my head. Limerick. A limerick. Okay, so here
okay.
we go.
I'm sorry. It's under Keith. Pardon me. It's Keith what?
Okay.
Pale.
Keith, okay. Go ahead.
I'm on.
Yeah.
I'd like to take a
okay, I'm going to send you his link. Greg,
okay.
I'm going to mail it to you. Okay, so let me copy the URL. That way you won't have to look. It's kind of hard to look with all these poets on here. I'm so excited. Yeah, so where are you? Okay, so here we go. Sending it to you right now.
Okay.
Okay, there it goes. if you wouldn't mind sending him the link, that way he can keep up. Hi, Phil.
Yeah.
Hello, Naomi. They're also online, and Rooster from Ireland.
Okay, there you go, Keith. I've sent you the link to the next poem.
That way you can read along with it. He's going to send you the link to your inbox on your page so that you can follow along and comment if you would like.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And anytime you're ready, Lawrence, please and thank you.
All right. This is Time Teller, correct?
Yes.
It's called Bark Carving. Somewhere in Sussex, thinking of you, among the green rolling downs, under the hot midday sun, blue skies washed with billows of white, smoky cotton candy. Above, red poppies and blue corn flowers, infiltrated with white, tall cosmos, and clouds of white umbellifers emanate. Periopsis and faggots proliferate the margins, and there in the middle, where the running stream widens into the babbling brook, a humongous thick earth spreading up the tree, that's where I carved your name. And to our left, fields of gold rape seed, to our right through the gentle valley, a vineyard and straight-quartered green rose that bend and dip their way down side to down. High above, two buzzards hunt in circles, moving across our sky in lines that parallel the hedgerows, between fields and along the winding lanes. A robin follows our every movement, while the song thrush serenades the landscape to the background of water running over chalky stones. Here at this tree, I think of you as us in the now. Here I lay and dream of you as us in the now. So many times I have been here, letting the world leave the field, closing its gate. And so many times I've held your hand here, under the shade of history wrapped into this tree's girth. This is where I carved your name. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, Laura. And it's such a visceral and touching poem. You know, the scenery is fantastic that this person paints. And, you know, you can feel the love and the emotions that he has for the one that he's thinking of. Here at this tree, I think of you as us in the now. Here I lay and dream of you as us in the now. And then, you know, his closing, this is where I carved your name into the tree. So that's just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Lee? Did you drop Lee? Yeah, she did.
No, I'm talking to my mute button.
Okay.
I was coughing, so I didn't want to disturb that beautiful read that Laurent did. Laurent, you did such a gorgeous read in reading Time Teller's poem. You know, this is, you know, he was inspired by this quote, and you can tell it was the detail that's in his. It's absolutely beautiful. You know, you can see the hot midday sun, the blue skies washed with billows of white, smoky, cotton candy clouds, you know, where you would just lay there and look at the clouds and think of the shapes of the clouds, what you thought they were. And then, you know, just the wild flowers that he's surrounded by, that's under this tree where he would sit with his love. You know, he talks about so many red poppies, which are gorgeous, blue cone flowers, tall cosmos. Oh, I love cosmos. You know, and he talks about more flowers, and that, you know, he talks how they would sit under this tree next to a babbling brook. And, you know, and when they were younger, he said that he had carved her name in the tree. And still they go there and whether he goes there alone or not, or with her, the memory is of her. This was beautiful, beautiful, lovely poem.
Absolutely. Well said. Thank you, Lee. And Keith, what are your thoughts?
I was impressed with the imagery of the poem, particularly the descriptiveness of the language and the flow of it.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Wonderful comments, Keith. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem.
Yeah, did you ask Laurent?
Oh, sorry, Laurent. What did you think?
Oh, somebody needs to make a list.
That's right.
And Laurent, what do you think?
Okay, you know, briefly, there are descriptions and then there are word paintings. And this is, as such, immersive. I found as a reader, I was just completely absorbed by the details and the tone of the piece. It's remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Great comment. Thank you, Laurent. Okay, Liu, I have your poll up in mind, please.
You want me to read the next poem? Okay.
Yeah, I got this. I got
did you send the link to Keith?
I am as we speak. Yep, there we go.
Okay, all right. This is titled, If I Had a Flower Every Time I Thought of You, I Could Walk Through My Garden Forever. And this was written by Earth Passion. Among a field of poppies red, the larkspur's purple glory, Queen Anne's lace rises from her bed. These petals tell a story of my love for you. My heart a beating symphony, where all the notes we fare by to free, my deepest wishes to come true. The fairest of them all, the rose, draws me with her deepest scent and whispers softly, hold me close. Oh, love, dear love, my will is spent. And with the eventide, the breeze, rich with the lavender this night, to hold your hand, dear, and to please, your every whim is my delight. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lee. That's a touching, heartfelt poem. You know, you can feel the beauty of it, of the love that she has for her person, and I thought it was just fantastic. What did you think, Lord?
I read the title, and then I thought the poem was almost an afterthought. Such a great title. If I had a flower, every time I thought of you, I could walk through my garden forever. It's a beautiful sentiment. I appreciate the descriptions, the poppies and the larkspurs, the Queen Anne's lace. It's all very befitting. But to me, that third stanza really strikes the strongest tone. The fairest of them all, rose, draws me with her deepest scent and whispers softly, hold me close. Oh, love, dear love, my will is spent. That's gorgeous writing. Beautiful poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Laurent. And Keith, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm reading Orwell's Roses by Rebecca Solnit, and I'm sort of hung up on the idea that the beauty of the rose lies not in its perfection, but in its imperfections. And the love we're talking about here is an unconditional love that transcends mm-hmm. imperfection.
Yes, thank you. And Lou, what did you think?
I found this poem to be very romantic. It was whimsical. It was very scented. You could just smell the flowers of each stanza as she talks about and walks us through these lines of beauty where she says it's the flowers that tell the story. And, you know, and it is true, you know, the scent of so many different things can trigger the emotions and the memories of the person that we love deeply. And also, like with Laurent Orr, it says it's that deepest scent. It's those deep emotions that are tied and entwined with that person. This was lovely.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. Okay, Keith, I've got your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Thank you. I want to sort of explain a little bit.
Do you need him to send you the link?
No, I do.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Bear with me if I explain the poem a little bit. It's a remake of Andrew Marvel's To His Coy Mistress. And anyone who is familiar with that poem knows it needs no reworking. So I started at a disadvantage. The poem that I've written is a kind of a deli sandwich. I think of it as a Frankenstein's monster pieced together out of pieces of dead poets. The bread of the sandwich is Marvel and his poem, and the filling is basically Shakespeare, Gibbon, Eliot, and Thomas. And so bear with me as I read the poem. Would that be okay?
Yes.
The title is Marvel Us. It's a takeoff on Billy Crystal for those who are popular fans. And it reads as follows. Were there time enough and space, our love might grow at its own pace. But age is written in our birth, and our stage comprehends the earth. The curtain will in its time fall, and we will slumber neath the pall. So let us gamble, you and I, while the stars are laid out against the sky, like the impatient pair we are, looking ever to our own star. The grave's a fine and private place, but crooked worms do their embrace.
Beautiful read, and a fantastic, touching poem. I mean, you can feel the emotion throughout this, right? And it's just a beautiful expression of living and loving and, you know, finding death. And I just thought it was a fantastic poem. What did you think, Lauren?
Well, I'm a little irritated with myself for not being able to snip out the various inspirations that make up the poem, because it seems familiar yet at the same time completely unfamiliar. I love the pacing, the rhythm, the rhyme, the excellent rhyme, I might say. I wouldn't be able to pick out one particular thing that I like the best, but one of those last two lines are lovely. The grave's a fine and private place. The crooked worms do their embrace. That is so fine. Excellent piece.
Thank you, Art. And Lou, what did you think?
Well, it was fantastic to hear Keith read his poem. There's nothing more fantastic than hearing a poet read their own poem. What I loved about this was I loved the cadence. Because as the cadence went, it was like flipping through an album, at least for me and my mind and pages, where I could see all this imagery that you were talking about. You know, it's true. Love grows at its own pace, and the experiences we have with the people we love also grow at its own pace. And we realize that, you know, there is never, at least to me, time just seems to move so fast the older I get. And when I look at this, I just think about your relationship with this person that you're in love with. For me, this was deeply personal in some way, because no matter how much time we have, you know, to take that gamble, jump in there, and find that love you have before you close your eyes. Of course, I'd rather be embraced by arms than worms. I got a big kick out of that. I really did. I enjoyed this very much, Keith.
Thank you.
Well said. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Bobby to the show. Hello, Bobby.
Hey,
good evening.
Captain. Miss Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
Captain B2 here.
And the crowd goes wild. Yes, I did. I really enjoyed this. I also liked the cadence. The pacing was very melodic. The rhyming was spot on. The use of language would have very classical flavor to it, very lyrical. I love the mm-hmm. the use of the "let us gamble, you and I." I can't remember the last time I gambled, it is just seriously the beautifully written, and if all the different swatches that you've drawn, and this pastiche is just beautiful.
Okay, great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And I'm just going to check the phone line again here.
Rooster's going to be calling long distance
from
Ireland.
I don't see it.
Oh,
I mean, I'm at my maximum that I can see, unfortunately.
Hello, guys. It's Rooster Cogburn here calling from Northern Ireland.
Hey, Rooster. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Great. Are you calling long distance?
Yep.
Is this costing you a pretty penny, Rooster, so we can get you up right away?
Yes, but you're all worth it. You're all worth every cent.
And you're all worth that accent. Good to listen to you every day.
Well, that's delightful to know that.
Okay, I've got yours. I'm going to post it to the group. And when you see it, please feel free to read it.
Yeah, sure. There we go. Yes, thank you, Grey Eyes. Can you all hear me okay?
Oh, perfectly.
So that's super. Well, my poem is based on your lovely quote by one of my favorite classic poets, Tennyson. It refers to the flower lily, the lily flower mainly, and it's quite symbolic here in Ireland and Northern Ireland. And the orange lily, particularly around July, the 12th of July, is a time we celebrate and have parades and carnivals. But the lily itself, there's different shades, different colors, and each one represents an emotion. So we're keeping with Tennyson's quote. Here's what I came up with, and it's called Gild the Lily. And if you're sitting comfortably, I'll begin. Demure, lily white so pure, aloof, unfettered innocence. First love excites to the core, beguiling, beautiful, emergent, virginal flower, arousing and more. The aura of orange, enrapturing, enter the spider sticky web, love on top, misgivings of masculine meanderings, flame and feisty fiery, a fast fall, fingers get burned. Red, deeply captivating, essence of passion, love replete. Perchance, to embed roots, propagate, savor the season. Intentions well meant, different colors or different scents. Yellow, a golden rays illuminate, purge, purify the air. You were the one, felt complete. Together, we plant a seed. When storms blew, strong, supporting stems sway, but hang on. Pink, audacious, lift the flagging spirits, heartbreak pardon. The honeybee craves nectar sweet, quid pro quo. Hallelujah, amen, love's alive within the colorful living lily garden. End poem, and thank you very much, guys, for letting me read. And super show, love you all. Until we meet again, bye-bye.
Love you too, Rooster. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rooster. Well, he painted a beautiful garden there with his words. You know, it was a beautiful poem full of vivid imagery and colors that, you know, speak to the heart and to the soul in this beautiful lily garden. I thought it was just fantastic read and an excellent race. What did you think, Lord?
It was a pleasure to hear his voice. Too bad you had to go that quickly. I'd have paid for another minute or two to have him on board. You know, they say you can't gild the lily, yet he did so with apparent ease, whirling me away with a floral rainbow of emotion and joy and happiness and sensuality. I thought it was excellent.
Great comment. Thank you, Lord. And Lee, what did you think?
Can you hear me, Greg?
Yes.
Great. Okay, good. I want to make sure I'm not
muted. Yeah.
I want to thank Rooster from calling from Ireland. I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I loved how he talked about the different colors of the lilies that are grown. My mother grows the yellow ones and the reddish orange fire, the one that he has a picture of here. And I enjoyed that, you know, he put what it's meaning of, you know, and this is what touches us so deeply. You know, each flower represents something and it means something, and how we incorporate it into our lives, whether we're planting, like he talks about here, planting the seeds, or we're giving these flowers to somebody or celebrating them. I thought this was beautifully read as it was penned.
Great comment. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, I you're talking to a gardener. I love lilies. Interestingly enough, there's two varieties. You have Asian lilies and you have day lilies. And there's different as it can be in fragrance and in greenery. To have lilies in your garden is like the way he's just described it. Is color and fragrance, and it does something to a garden that is indescribable. It gives it a panache that most flowers don't. It's a beautiful flower, and I like the way he's written about them, the different colors, and the way he's described them. And I liked his note at the bottom. Pink lilies stand for love, admiration, compassion. White lilies, purity. Yellow evokes happiness. Orange lilies, energy. And I'm going to be pedantic here for a moment. Forgive me. But the actual quote from Shakespeare's King John is, to gild refined gold, to paint the lily, to throw a perfume on the violet, to smooth the ice. We all misquote that.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Keith, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I was fascinated with the meter. It struck me as sort of like religious call and response. I sort of need to see the poem written down. I'm fascinated with the meter of it, and I thought it was a very efficient way of introducing the colors of the various lilies and the meaning of it. I was very much taken, though, with the meter and sort of distracted, if you will, by the uniqueness of what I think I understand of the meter.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you.
Did you send him the poem?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to grab the next poem here. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Bobby, when you see this.
No, not at all. Find, and what am I looking for here? My beloved, Kazia F. Okay.
There it is.
Yep. My beloved, by Kazia F. Souls entwine, the mystic of love walks through mountains to feel your touch, to see your smile, I was a broken man before with no hope left at all. I set it in the dark, empty longing for your air. The day came as I sat at the cafe like I have done so long. I saw an angel walk in. Your eyes made of gems, sapphire glowed as emeralds danced when the sunlight so gently reached your face. I knew I was a lost man. The peachy color of your skin was made of satin. The curve of your ruby lips touched my heart and the blood in my veins became you inside. I could not keep my eyes away from the way your hands held the cup. Your laughter echoed through the room like music only masters could compose. Madness I could not understand seemed like lilies of the valley consuming every part of the earth. The bloom of roses became sidewalks and lotus the road to heaven. Orchids forgot how to bow at your sight and sunflowers grew as tall as my soul. Knowing you are a living daisy under my skin, I myself became the garden and you every petal. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And, you know, it's a fantastic poem. You know, it has such deep emotion and just a beautiful sentence of turning into a garden of flowers filled with the beauty of the love that you found. And I thought it was just an excellent, excellent poem. What did you think, Lauren?
It's some highly evocative language in this, particularly, I could not keep my eyes away from the way your hands held the cup. Your laughter echoed through the room like music only masters could compose. Madness I could not understand seemed like lily of the valley consuming every part of the earth. The bloom of roses became sidewalks and lotus the road to heaven. I thought that was just beautifully phrased. The tone is filled with love. There's almost an abasement of the poet before his love. I myself become a garden and you every petal is yielded completely to her. Beautifully done.
Great comment. Thank you, Lawrence. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
I thought Bobby did a fantastic job in reading this poem by Cassia F. What I liked about this poem is that instead of it being an outward thing of a couple together or things that they've done together, this person, it was like watching somebody on dry desert soil and this beautiful image comes in and the seeds that had laid dormant start to bloom. He started coming to life. He said, you know, it says that, you know, that she had touched his heart and made the blood in my veins become you inside. And then, you know, of course, you know, he starts going down further and he talks about the different flowers, the lilies and the roses. And then I really like that sunflowers work. He felt so tall, like those sunflowers that we see growing in the road that are just humongous, that she infused beauty and life into him. I thought this was a fantastic poem.
Well said. Thank you, Lee. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I also enjoyed it. It is it's very very reverential. I mean, this is written by someone who is just completely enamored, besotted with this person. And the descriptions, I was a lost man, the peachy color of your skin, ruby lips, and just the descriptions, the visual imagery is so beautifully struck, and the emotions that go with it. It is a very emotional piece and very loving. I really enjoyed it.
Great comment. Thank you, Bob. And Keith, what are your thoughts?
I heard this is a sensual poem, and it struck me that the reference to the way her hands held the cup, it struck me that perhaps the most sensual part of a woman may be her hands. they are so different from the hands of a man. And I, the whole poem is like a revelation, a revealing of his emotion as he takes in the beauty of this woman and comparing her to the lilies of the field and other wonderful creations of nature. I thought it was a wonderful poem of imagery and emotion.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Keith. Okay, I've got the next poem posted. It's by R. Byron, and I'll send this to you now, Keith. Okay, here we go. This is called Always by R. Byron. Breathing in silence, garden, perched like bones, inhaling a fragrance, so perched like trees, like blue butterflies and fireflies, covered in green buffalo grass. Night rusted as russet dirt, and I, a treasure like gold, as the moon waves the sun, marking marigolds at sundown. Cherry footsteps in purple tulips, as light fractures clouds of darkness, painting a garden east of Eden, birth of a running spring reservoir, a child of silence, a child of gardens, rising all moons and stars, as my love rises for you. End poem. And yeah, that's a beautiful poem. You know, it's touching, it's delicate, and it's intricate in its detailing. Cherry footsteps and purple tulips with light fractures, clouds of darkness, painting an Eden. I mean, painting a garden east of Eden, as his poem does, it paints a garden as well. So it's just beautiful, right? What did you think, Mark?
Well, you took part of what I really liked in this, although I enjoyed the entire thing, but those last lines, birth of a running spring reservoir, a child of silence, a child of gardens, rising all moons and stars, as my love rises always for you. Ah, that spoke to me very strongly. You know, he had a cadence there. The images flowed into each other, and it was just perfect.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
She's shy, so she's speaking quiet.
Hello, Lee.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep. Now?
Yes? Good. Okay, you did a great job in reading this, Gray. I really enjoyed this poem by Byron. What I loved about this was is the title, Always. There's just something when you're so deeply in love with somebody that always, always, the fragrance, the life of butterflies and fireflies swaying through grass is something that just captures you. And whether that person is there with you or not, they are still there with you in those images and the beauty of, you know, I really got a big kick out of this, marching marigolds at sundown, clary footsteps and purple tulips. I just thought this was wonderfully penned and very visual and very loving.
Well, Sarah, thank you to you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed the visual imagery in this. The beautiful word painting. It's a very romantic piece. Again, I know I used the word besotted once before, but this also, a treasure like gold as the moon waves the sun, marching marigolds at sundown. The emotion is expressed is so lyrical, and it's so beautiful. A child of silence, a child of gardens. So really lovely. Like I said, very, very romantic.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Lord, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
All right. My thoughts to you changed me forever by Imana Sanasol. I was walking through the street to get the day's unusual heat when my rushing eye got the beat from your cool breeze so sweet. The day was the turning point. My rushes for anything got cool. My brain got lots of ice, left as if to join your smile with its working tool. The day I never forgot, as it was only the beauty spot of my ugly life before, scattered thereafter flowers more and more. My mind received a kind of meditation. Your thoughts got all the attention, which got me sometimes astray, but scattered flowers always on my way. End poem.
Great read, Lord. And, you know, it's a beautiful poem, you know, how somebody can be changed by another's presence is just a beautiful thing. And, you know, it can be very endearing, and this is a heartfelt, right? My mind received a kind of meditation. Your thoughts got all the attention, which got me sometimes astray, but scattered flowers, always, all my way. Yeah, just a beautiful poem, very touching. What did you think, Lee?
You're going to, me?
Yeah.
Come on, Colomb Sauvage.
Gray.
Hello. Yes.
Yeah, did you ask me to comment?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Oh, I wasn't sure if you did or not because it wasn't loud enough. You did a fantastic job in reading this, Laurent. This really made me think of when you see the person that you love or you're attracted to and you freeze up, just like if you had too much ice cream or too much popsicle and your brain freeze. You know, sometimes that can happen to you. And, you know, and that that just made me smile. I enjoyed the poem. And I also liked the last stanza.
Wonderful comment, Lee. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I enjoyed it. It had almost a lighthearted feeling to it. It's romantic, but very in a breezy way. It wasn't overly serious,
mm-hmm.
but it was very charming the way it was done.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Keith, what are your thoughts?
You know, I'm at a disadvantage. I haven't seen the text. I would need to study it more. But what I understand of the poem is pain.
Well, Keith, I'll tell you, he is sending you links. So if you keep going to your box and clicking on the link, you'll have the text immediately in front of you.
Thank you.
Back to you, a wonderful Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Come back to you, Keith. Actually, yeah. So what, did you get a chance to read it, Keith?
Are you asking me to read a poem?
No, I was asking if you got a chance to read the one that I sent you.
I don't have access to it.
Okay.
Oh, I've been sending them to your inbox. But okay, I'm gonna go ahead and carry on.
On AP. Yeah. Okay.
This one has a SoundCloud. This is by Joseph Damasio. It's called "You Came Dressed in a Bouquet," and there's a SoundCloud for this. So I'll grab it. Playing it in the studio, please. So should we read it?
There's not a SoundCloud?
No, it's not in the studio.
We can wait to do that next week because I don't, if somebody sends a recording, I prefer to play their recording because they sent it in to be played as a recording.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to post this next one to the group. And I'm going to send you a link, Keith, if you wouldn't mind reading it, please. Hello, Keith?
Yes.
I sent you a link on All Poetry.
So
yes,
you can read
I'm
the next poem?
Might I just say that I think Keith is not accessing the links he's being sent on AP in his messages. I don't know whether that's because you don't want to read or whether you're unfamiliar with the system. Just go
I'm
to your
unfamiliar.
AP.
I'm sorry. It's on a phone.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's harder on a phone than it is on a computer. All you have to do is, I don't know how he can read if he can't see the poem. I'm going to send you the Late Night Poets link, Keith, so that you can join the group and you can read and comment along with the rest of us. It'll be easier for you.
Yes, I appreciate that, and I'll certainly sign up.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Livy, would you mind reading for the next one, please?
Okay. I'm sending him the link. Give me just a second. I got to go back.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it by Quill?
Yes.
Okay. Been a while. By Quill. I just might, I'm sorry. See, it's been a while since I felt something real, and I'm scared to death. Just to be honest, I know you like me and enjoy our time together. Your company, me cooking dinner, your smile, soft skin, then way we move in bed. In the morning, I'd make you coffee. You work on the weekend. 4:08 alarm. Lindell, apple turnals. I like this direction. Where we're heading. Feels good to be happy. It's been a while. We went to the comedy show, had an amazing night, got you home, and the only thing that I didn't take off were the earrings I bought you. Tussled and turned. You'd curve, I'd swerve. Came twice that night, your moans were the only thing I heard. Friday night, red dress. Saturday night, blue dress. Perfect figure, gorgeous smile. It's been a while since I've seen something so beautiful on my arm, in my bed. Heart beating, can't get you off my mind, out of my head. Happy now, just in time, it's been a while. In poem.
Beautiful read. And this is a touching poem about falling in love with somebody, you know, through all the different stages. And, you know, not having felt that way in a while, it's a beautiful thing to feel that. Happy now, just in time, it's been a while. And he says in his author's notes, just something sweet I wrote about someone I've been dating. Wonderful poem. What did you think, Lord?
I really like this. It's almost, you know, pretty much a monologue, but it's delivered in conversational tone. Every line moving just a little bit further, beginning with his being scared to death of what he sees, perhaps losing it, the slow progression to dinner, to bed, and to the way he feels with her, the Friday night red dress, Saturday night blue dress, perfect figure, gorgeous smile. Been a while. Yeah, it has. And when you see something that beautiful on your arm in bed, it's going to make you happy. And that happiness comes across very strongly. Well written.
Thank you, Lord. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I like the colloquial format of it, the way it's presented. It is presented like a monologue. And it's almost like a stream of consciousness, especially some of the broken phrases as the late starts. I'm sorry, it's been a while. And it punctuates with it's been a while. You can sense both the apprehension and the awe of the feeling that's coming with what's happening and how they're drawn to the person and really mesmerized by the whole relationship. It's a very, very charming and very romantic piece, even though it's not very formal, but it is definitely very direct.
And Keith, what are your thoughts?
I hate to be repetitive, but the conversational tone of it is important to the story that's being told. It strikes me as certainly stream of consciousness thought, but the casual language, there's nothing flowery about the language. It's as if it's kind of voyeuristic in that sense. It's as if you were the person experiencing it's been a long while. I like it very much.
Well said. Yeah, I agree. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
I'm not muted, am I?
No.
What I liked about this poem is that it was like somebody was talking to themselves, recollecting moments. You know, sometimes we're so afraid to fall in love and get involved in a relationship. And I don't know if that's the fear that he was talking about, but once that he said that, you know, he says, I'm scared to death, just to be honest, I know you like me and I enjoy our time together. And then he just starts talking how they were building the relationship, making dinner, having coffee in the morning with apple turnovers, and that, you know, that they were going out to comedy shows, and that essentially they match their curve and their swerve, and that, you know, he found her beautiful, that, you know, even though he was scared at the beginning, now he can't get this woman off of his mind.
Absolutely. Wonderful read. I mean, beautiful comment, Lou, and an excellent read as well. Bobby, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Not at all. Okay, Leave Me Not by Clay Paper. Okay.
Yeah.
Leave me not. You did not call me last night. My blood raged petunias, and I slept pansying about you. Is it too much to ask for a lilactical love that will yarrow through times? Bless and banana blossom me. Don't you remember the jasmine times of our lives? The time when we tulipped our love to the world? We never let the day flower dip. Our lives were all red carnations and camellias. I worry you're going to touch me not on me. I'm still in forget-me-not zone. My heart clucks lovingly, skips its beat every time a geranium drops, praying that it is not a morning glory after all. It is no time to sage, perhaps time for some daffodils in the moment. Looking inward, my deep rose heart blossomed into a thousand petal lotus. End of poem.
Well, you did a wonderful job with that reading of Bobby. And, you know, this is a descriptive poem, you know, using plants and flowers as his feelings and emotions and his situational things. I worry you are going to touch me not on me. I'm still in forget-me-not zone. My heart walks lovingly, skips its beats every time a geranium drops. Just a wonderful poem. What did you think, Lauren?
I love the way he used flowers and plants as verbs. Bless and banana blossom me, for instance. Or, you did not call me last night. My blood raged petunias and I slept frenzying. It offers a completely different perspective, doesn't it, on the flower. I mean, if you know the flower, then you instantly know the image and what he's saying and whether it fits or not. It's clever. It's well-written. Brought a smile to my face.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lauren. And Louise, what did you think?
Well, I enjoyed listening to Bobby read this. I thought this was very clever, just like going along with Laurent's comment, how she they exchanged the verbs and the meanings and what it meant. And I found my smiling throughout this entire thing of love me not, with all the variety of flowers. This was very clever. I enjoyed it very much.
Great comment. Thank you, Lydia. And Keith, what are your thoughts?
Well, I was interested in the poem Flowers as Metaphor, Flowers as Verb Transitive. That's really clever. I'm a bit of a tennis player, not much, but the backhand is the hardest stroke for most folks, and yet in anatomical terms, the backhand is the most natural, the more natural stroke than the forehand. And this poem uses flowers in a sort of a backhand mode, and in fact it's refreshing and interesting. I'll probably steal some of that, but I enjoy the poem.
Well said, thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was wonderfully imaginative. I mean, this took some real concentration and some botanical G2 to really know what to poke in there and how it would balance out. But it's very nimbly written. I agree with Louie, it is very clever. And it's a fun read. It's almost like a tongue twister. Mm-hmm. If you're not very careful, you could trip over it. But it is in its way the interpretation of the prompt for the contest. I think it's inspired.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, we're going to get into some open poetry now that it's the 1 hour mark. Lauren, would you mind reading one piece?
Be happy to. Okay, this is called Walking on Water. The prompt is, on ocean black and ship half sunk, through the rigging of my soul, I see stars and holes in the splash of water on the wood, barely hanging on, bound to a future of tides, ebbing out, drifting on a wayward glass reflection, sliding in on the slight curve of a ripple, barely conceived, body rocks in the shallows, driftwood in disaster. All around, face down, face up, to inhale or not, walking on the water in dreams, drowning in it, I reflex in the light. Salt of acceptance lingers on the tongue from the last lover who gave me grace. No death for an old man who still sees stars in the rushing night. End poem.
Wow, beautiful read, Lauren. This is a very visceral poem. You can picture all this as you read it. Ebbing out, drifting on a wayward glass reflection, sliding in on the slight curve of a ripple, barely conceived, body rocks in the shallows, driftwood and disaster all around. Face down, face up, to inhale or not to. Just a wonderful writing, fantastic imagery and emotions throughout the poem. What did you think, Lee?
You know, I was listening. This is a very strong brevity. Each couplet says something to me. You know, whether it does, it doesn't mean that it means that I understood where Lawrence coming from, but when you write and I can see these images and I try to envision them from the poet and then from my life. And, you know, to me, this is just how we go through life. Sometimes we have to hold on tight. Sometimes we have to tie ourselves down. You know, and tides, you know, depending on how tall they are, whether we can ride them. Sometimes, you know, like, you know, when I'm going through life, sometimes I feel like I can't breathe, you know, because of the issues, you know, like you, for me, the body rocks in the shallows and the drifter and disaster all around. You know, sometimes this is just survival. And even though we're going through this, at least for me, through life, right here, this, I really love this. Especially since, you know, sometimes we can attain our dreams and sometimes we can't. But the thought of acceptance lingers on the tongue from the last lover who gave me grace. There's just something about that is just so, at least it was deeply personal for me in my mind. I love this, Laurent.
Thank you, too.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Dark, powerful, visceral. Starts out very dour. Slipknot chokes and holds, and a splash of water on wood. But I see a ray of light at the end. Salt of acceptance lingers on the tongue, and the last lover who gave me grace. With no death for an old man who still sees stars in the rushing night. There's hope there, and the hope is eternal, even though it seems like everything is very grim. This is a very powerful piece, and the way you structured it gives it a great deal of gravitas.
Thank you.
Well, absolutely. And Keith, what are your thoughts?
Well, I was sort of hung up on the image of the drowned or drowning man because it's such a strong icon in Joyce's Ulysses. It recurs, and I wonder if the author had that connection and that meaning in mind. It's very much dark, like the use in that novel. But that's sort of where I got hung up thinking about it.
Well, thank you. In this case, it was really the first three lines of the prompt. On ocean black and ship half sunk. Now, that, too, gave me the immediate recognition of the drowning man, perhaps among the rigging of the boat. Yet, even though he's in that desperate situation, he can still see stars. There's still hope. And the slipknot put in, because the slipknot is supposed to just slip off when you pull the right one, the right part of it, but in this case it didn't. It choked. So there was an inadvertency to what was happening. They're barely hanging on. He's bound to that which is around him almost by accident. If that makes any sense.
Well,
that was good. Thank you for sharing.
Excellent
that,
write and read, Laurent.
Okay, Lou, I've got Jack Tonkovic up if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, let me see. I don't see the poem. Just a second. Let me refresh. Okay. Profile by Jack Tonkovic for a quote-unquote profile party. The repugs are flipping, flapping, skilled at killing. Killing mothers and teen girls dying from blotched DNCs. killing with contaminated formula and drugs. They're so not into government rules. That cramps their freedom to make boatloads of dialing for dollars, killing immigrants or at least ramming them in cages, covered in shiny Mylar blankets that look like hell from outer space and placed in pens like animals to slaughter. End poem.
Wow. Great read, Lee. And, you know, that's a hard-hitting poem, packing a punch. For a profile party, the repugs are flipping and flapping, skilled killing, killing mothers and teen girls, dying from botched DNCs, killing with contaminated formula and drugs. They're not so into government rules. Yeah, just a power on current times, for sure. And what did you think, Art?
Jack has taken a very strong point of view here. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't agree with it. You've got a political party. And by the way, I love repugs. And that's, it sounds like Republicans. And it also sounds like Republicans, which I think is very spot on at this point. For a political party that espouses such complete freedom, they are very, 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 very eager to have you live exactly the way they want you to live. They are the complete antithesis of freedom. And I'm not going to go beyond that, except to say I like what he had to say, and I like the way in which he said it.
Great comment. Thank you, Mark. And Bobby, what did you think?
Wow. Very raw, very visceral. He doesn't pull punches. Very barbed, with some very strong points of view that are very poetically placed and very well done. I mean, for as raw as this piece is, it is very, very well written.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Keith, what are your thoughts?
Well, I read the poem as satire in the tradition of Swift, A Modest Proposal. Often on the site, people say they steer clear of political issues in their poetry, or we should perhaps steer clear of political issues, and often they're referring to the genocide in Ukraine. I don't feel that poetry should steer clear of things of that nature, and I find this poem, as I said, a worthy kind of satire in the tradition of Jonathan Swift.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. And Lou, what are your thoughts?
You know, my thoughts are, you know, he's talking about life and death here, politics and society, what we see going on. We can just turn on CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC. It doesn't matter. Fox News, it doesn't matter. All this stuff is going on not only in our society, but also in other society that we're dealing with this. It just surprises me that formula in a society where we're supposed to have the best scientists and the best inspectors, that, you know, things like this happen. You know, everything we've seen here, all of us have seen personally on TV or know something about it. Just like with the peanut butter, you know, it's just amazing to me how humans treat other humans. And, you know, and it's just how, you know, and it does, it saddens me. And, you know, and of course, you know, like, you know, it just the way, if, you know, like they were saying, if we knew everything that was going on, we would just, you know, just be shocked. So the only thing I can say is that, you know, I hope that whatever that I don't know that it'll ever end. And, you know, it is deeply sad. And sometimes you just got to say it to get off your chest. And that's what open poetry is. Getting it off your chest,
absolutely.
or love poems, which we like the love poems.
Yeah. Okay, Bobby, fasten your seatbelt. We've got Poetic Picasso coming up, and it's called The Sensual Scent of My Violet, and he has a SoundCloud.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
Hold on, Bobby.
Mi amor, be the sensual scent of my violet with its fresh fragrance. From the clusters of awakened flowers, of intoxicating petals, the caress of touch of the spring, an illustration of a pastel shade, releasing the aphrodisiac aroma of its precious purple color. Its buds move the lips of two lovers of its scintillating oil, of rousing my senses of its vernal seduction of a blossoming love. The songs of a sparrow serenade like the harmonies of an orchestra. By the fountain, will I see the virgin of ripples of your beauty? Our secret whispers are captured by the unruptured winds of intimacy. Hummingbirds flap their gentle wings and chirp their love songs. The ovate evoking the crescent dawn to gradually rise once more. The token sign that I shall find you by the garden of nectar. If I could pluck every petal that is reminding me of you, I would erase the lingering sorrow from the mournful sepals that the tender petals bathe with the soothing drops of dew, accompanied by the mellifluous sounds of my romantic violin. Eres mi hermosa violeta, mi sonrisa, mi dicha matutina. Te espero en el jardín con esperanza, porque solo tú alivias mi añoranza. You are my beautiful violet, my smile, my morning joy. I wait for you in the garden of hope. Friendly you, take my longing away. Mi amor, mi flor. Mi amor, mi flor. Well, that was an excellent read and a powerful write. You know, it's sensual and seductive throughout. I thought it was just an amazing poem, filled with incredible imagery and emotions. Just a beautiful job, Frank. And what did you think, Lord?
I thought it was a beautiful piece. Our secret whispers are captured by the enraptured winds of intimacy. Hummingbirds flap their gentle wings and chirp their love songs. The obeyed evoking the quiescent dawn. I swear, I had my first orgasm, a Picasso-gasm, if you will, swept away by sepals and drops of dew.
Great comment, thank you. And Lou, if you're finished crying, would you mind commenting?
You know, that is the first time he mixed in such deep emotions with sensuality. I mean, I'm not going to even read that stanza because if I do, I'll probably start bellowing on the radio show. I liked how he started this off and how he ended it. And in the middle, I liked the whole thing. This is one of the most beautiful poems that I've ever read and that I've ever seen Francisco write. Mi amor, be the sensual scent of my violet with its fresh fragrance from the clusters of awakened flowers of intoxicating petals. The caressive touch of the spring, an illustration of a pastel shade, releasing the aphrodisiac aroma of its precious purple color. That is just breathtaking. And then there was another one where it says that, where he talks, I could pluck every petal of you, and that made tears well up in my eyes. But I also liked his ending stanza. Eres mi hermosa, Violeta. I just thought that was so pretty. You are my beautiful violet, my smile and my morning joy. I wait for you in the garden with hope, for only you can take my longing away. And then you brought not only that sensuality, but you touched the heart and the mind and the memory. This was gorgeous. Back to you, Greg.
Well said. Thank you. Thank you, Lee. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Lulu. This is a very emotional piece. The emotion and the sensuality are blended beautifully. The visual imagery is stunning. He's got, as per his usual, a panoply of sight and sound and fragrance, touch. He evokes all of the senses. And it is a deeply, deeply romantic piece.
Mm-hmm.
One of his best.
Agreed.
I agree with you both. Thank you. And Keith, what are your thoughts?
I really have to pass on this one. I couldn't take it in.
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by Naomi Sarah, and she has a SoundCloud.
Daydreaming by the washing machine. Wish wash, wish wash. Tossed inside the swishing drum. Sunday's casuals. Couch potato pajamas. Caked in cookie crumbs. Rinse, spin, stop. Throw in normal. Monday to Friday, ink stains. Chalk dust, spitballs, pink, stuck on, bubble gum. Rinse, spin, stop. Pop in delicates. Oh yeah, baby. Silky, satiny ribbons and bows, soaking in vanilla and lavender foam. At last, a Valentine, a rendezvous. Jazzy music, dancing, dining, flickery. Shadowy candlelight, chilled Merlot and Sauvignon, thumping heartbeats and honey-hummed lips, so soft and sweet under moonlit stars. Wish-wash, wish-wash, pop in casuals, throw in normal. That's it. Caught the flu, canceled rendezvous.
Wow, she did a beautiful read on that. And, you know, it's a fantastic poem of a moment in somebody's life where they're just standing by the washing machine as it wish washes away. And all the different, you know, days of clothes that you wore and clothes that got canceled because of the rendezvous. I mean, you know, because of the flu. And I thought it was just a beautiful, descriptive, powerful poem. And it was just a beautiful write, you know. It had a very pleasing feel to it. It was palpable. What did you think, Lauren?
This is a wonderfully lighthearted, semi-serious look at life, if you will. I thought that using the wash as a metaphor for thought and intent, as a way of conveying a story within a story, was perfect. The mundanity of the first few stanzas, the couch potato pajamas, cake and cookie crumbs, the spitballs, pink stuck on bubblegum, etc. That's all the day-to-day. And then when you pop in the delicates, and all of a sudden it just becomes this beautifully sensuous anticipation of, you know, why I'm doing the delicates. Oh, yeah, baby. And then that ending, wish-wash, wish-wash, pop in casuals, throw in normal. That's it. Caught the flu, canceled rendezvous. She just drops you right there. A wonderful, romantic and sensual stanza brought down to earth by the flu. Great job.
Well said. Thank you, Lord. And Lydia, what are your thoughts?
Okay, so I was reading her author's notes where she says, my washing machine is cheap. Only has three cycles, casual, normal, and delicate. Okay, what I liked about this is that if you ever had to go to a laundromat and, you know, that you just, you do. It's almost hypnotizing the swishing and swashing, watching your laundry moving back and forth, you know, and you're throwing things, you know, you put stuff in the washing machine and, you know, of course, knowing what you've given your kids and the baby that, you know, all this laundry from Monday through Friday that's been thrown in the laundry basket, you're going to have to get to it. So this, you know, it does take work. But I have found that during the spinning cycles can cause your mind to go into sexual mode when you start putting in the delicates, because you know what you've done that weekend prior to it, you know. And she puts, I just love this, silky satiny ribbons and bows, soaking in vanilla and lavender foam, at last a Valentine's rendezvous, jazzy music, dancing, dining, flickering showy candlelight, cheer melon and sauvignon, thumping heartbeats and honey hum lips, so sweet and under moonlight. And then the washing machine beeps and it's time for the next dirty load, and there you go. I thought this was fantastic.
Well said. Thank you, Lee. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
This is absolutely charming. Excuse me. Naomi has this real a flair for taking the banal and prosaic in life and just giving it a fascination that stands it on its head. I've seen her do it with other items too. She struck on something that I've contemplated many times as I'm standing there watching the load in the dryer. I contemplate that in my clothing sees more action in 20 minutes than I've seen in years. And even if it's charging. And she's captured that so beautifully. True.
A great action that I've seen in years.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, T?
This is my cup of tea. You know, I see Walter Mitty in here. James Thurber, Chief of Luck, Walter Mitty. Now Walter's refrain was pocketa, pocketa, pocketa.
Yes.
And then
yes.
He would launch into a reverie, you remember? Well, her mantra is wish wash. And it's perfect. And her reveries may be That's better than MIDI's. He didn't have any of those adventures, but maybe she did.
Oh, that was funny, Keith.
Absolutely. Okay, Bobby, your poem's up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
No. Keith struck on one of my absolute favorite films of all time. Danny Kaye does an absolutely stellar job. Yeah, well, interestingly enough, the Secret Life of Walter Mitty was based on a James Thurber short story, and James Thurber so hated the way the film turned out that he actually took out an ad in the paper and said, "Do not go see this movie. It has nothing to do with my story."
Oh, man.
Yeah, he hated it. I love it. It is absolutely charming.
Short story itself measures just 4 or 5 pages, depending upon how it's set, but it's that short.
Yeah, it was very. This was written for a contest with all artwork from some art contest in Florida, I believe. So I selected this painting, which was called Dog Island, and the painting was executed by Tom Sadler, Dog Island Sunset. So we lay under the palm trees next to the fire, listening to the tide stealing onto the sand and the night breeze whispering its breath through the fronds. Together with the palms, we mark the stars like ancient mariners as the primordial starlight soaks into the earth beneath the roots of the trees. The night and the sea and the fire cast their spell on us beneath the belly of a lustrous full moon. We lay together on the blankets, spread upon the sand, our eyes filled with firelight, our voices filled with poetry and passion. The water reflects the argent moonlight, and like a spectral mist, bathes our bodies. Trepidation dissolves beneath eager hands, finding their way, guided by the silvery glow. The night's love igniting the wildfire within us, raging flame begetting more raging flame. We become a conflagration of desires, engulfing us, each flowing into the other. As explorers at the edge of an ancient map, we travel past the edge of our charted universe to find within us unheralded desires, journeying far past where our known worlds end. We are a radiant presence amid the trees, while as in a dream, we abandon conscious awareness where I end and you begin no longer matters, for we have become as one. End poem.
Wonderful read, Bobby. And such a fascinating poem, you know. It's like steeped in mysticism and beauty and ethereal love and bonding through this time they share on the island on their blanket, you know. And I thought it was just beautiful, you know. As explorers at the edge of an ancient map, we travel past the edge of our charted universe to find within its unheralded desires, journeying far past where our known worlds end. We are a radiant presence amid the trees, while as in a dream we abandon conscious awareness. Where I end and you begin no longer matters, for we have become as one. You know, just a truly beautiful poem on the subject of connecting with somebody and the ethereal nature that can be there with the right circumstances. So just a beautiful picture you painted, Bobby. Lauren, what are your thoughts?
Together with the palms, we mark the stars like ancient mariners, as the primordial starlight soaks into the earth beneath the roots of the trees. The night and the sea and the fire cast their spell on us beneath the belly of a lustrous full moon. This is a fine ekphrastic work, properly interpreting the image and then looking behind the canvas to tell the story. Excellent work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
I I was looking at the picture that she was writing for, but she breathes life into the imagery that's in this picture. That lone fire that we see in the back, and the moon reflecting itself off the waters. I thought this was absolutely gorgeous. It was every image and that a couple would want to be in. And, you know, especially right here where you said, we lay together on the blanket spread upon the sand, our eyes filled with firelight and our voices filled with poetry and passion. And, you know, and then you just continue to describe what you see in the picture, but what you see within the both of you in this image. And I just, it, like right here where it says, as explorers at the edge of an ancient map, we travel past the edge of our charted universe to find within us unheralded desires, journeying for paths where our known worlds end, you know, and that moment where everything, the past, the future, everything just collides and you just become one and you become the comet. This is beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful comment, Lee. Thank you. And Keith, what are your thoughts?
Well, I read the poem as sort of nature abhors of, you know, that the experience is transcendental and it describes a sort of expanding universe beyond the edge of the unknown of the world to unknown worlds. And in the end, the person, the lover, loses themselves in the continuity with the other person. And I think that's a fairly apt description of the experience.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and this is by Martha Gettle, and she has a SoundCloud. So we'll play that.
Love's Flowers by Martha Gettle. Me, I just wrote love, wrote all I was dreaming of. I took my pen in hand, the words flowed at my command. All the roses, flowers, and candy too, though that's not what makes love true. It's the feeling that makes us hold hands, that keeps love at our command. Baby, baby, I'm here for you. I know love will see us through. Every time I look in your eyes, I see the love that brightens my life. So let the stars shine bright. Love, it is our guiding light. I stand tall, I know it's true. Every time I stand next to you. Baby, baby, I'm here for you. I know love will see us through. Every time I look in your eyes, I see the love that brightens my life. So kiss me, baby, it's so nice. Your love melts all the snow and ice. At last I can see what love's about. Love's flowers make me want to scream and shout.
Wow. That was fantastic singing. And I thought she did a marvelous job on the subject of love and, you know, it being flower power, you know. Me, I just wrote love, wrote all I was dreaming of. I took my pen in hand. The words flowed at my command. All the roses, flowers, and candy, too. Though that's not what makes love true. It's the feeling that makes us hold hands, that keeps love at our command. Yeah, just a beautiful rite with amazing sentiment. What did you think, Liu?
I always love listening to Martha sing her poetry. You know, she does such a fantastic job. What I liked about this is that that it's love that makes her flower inside. You know, she says, yeah, you can give somebody candy and flowers, but that's not what makes love true. You know, it's loving them that makes love true and being next to them. This is wonderful.
Well said. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I also enjoyed it. I really do like the way Martha expresses herself. She's just very, it's so straightforward, uncluttered, very basically, she lays it out there in simple language, says how she feels. There's always a lot of emotion in her pieces. I mean, she just does not, it's unguarded. And that's what I really enjoy about it, is the frank emotion of her pieces.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Keith, what are your thoughts?
Well, I read the poem as a collage, a collection of sort of found objects, familiar phrases, such as guiding lights, I'm here for you, love will see us through. And I see it as an artwork in the form of a collage. And it's an interesting language, actually. There is a hint of country and Western music
mm-hmm.
in this poem, whether that's intended or not. But that's my take.
Absolutely.
We have the same take, too. Yeah.
Well said. Thank you, Keith. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by Poetess
Lavone.
She also has a sound. No, he's not.
Right?
He dropped. Laura dropped.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay,
you.
So this next poem is Forever Love. Sorry, it's My Forever Garden by Poetess Love. And she has a SoundCloud, so I'll do that.
If I had a flower for every time I thought of it, I could walk in my garden forever, floating in fragrances of what blossoms as splashes of lavender covers the flowers with its first drops of dew. But forever is not long enough for me to tend to what burning desires hankers inside of you. We picnicked under, we picked and pocketed petals fallen from the cherry blossom tree that went in spring floret. One thought of you waters my soul like a drop of rain watering marigolds. In the beautiful afterglow from the rainbow, I will never forget. Butterflies and dragonflies dancing in the moonlight, romancing to the essence of your effervescent spirit. Crickets dancing on the edges of my heart-shaped flowers where we danced amongst stars for hours and hours. My days are not nearly long enough when spending time with you, so I delight myself when I lay in your perennial bed, tall and erect, as I lay my nebulous form flesh in mesh. Thoughts of you are in between a kaleidoscope and a solar eclipse, where I see, when I close my eyes, an angular aperture with just enough opening where no shadows, no darkness exists. Just a peek of what the sky looks like when it's lit. Two lips remind me of our two lips, blooming like a chia garden in spring during the summer solstice. In the middle of winter, illuminated by the sun, in my forever garden near the statue that when the sun rises, rises with the silhouette of you. It's just poetry. Thank you, and I love you. And I'll see you tomorrow. National Poetry Month, day 24.
Well, that was a beautiful read and a very visceral and sincere poem. You know, you can feel the sincerity of her words as she says, we picnicked pocketed petals fallen from a cherry blossom tree that when in spring floret, one thought of you waters my soul like a drop of rain, watering marigolds in the beautiful afterglow from the rainbow I will never forget. And just beautiful imagery there. And I feel it remind me of our two lips blooming like a chia garden in spring during the summer solstice in the middle of winter, illuminated by the sun in my forever garden near the statue that when the sun rises, rises with the silhouette of you. Just a beautiful poem. But I really like the way she really chopped through those seasons, spring, summer, and winter, all within three lines. And it did it beautifully and powerfully. So just a wonderful poem. What did you think, Lee?
I thought Poetess Love did a beautiful poem. She is such a passionate writer. And you can see it in her poetry. You know, she talked, like you were saying, she brings out all the seasons of here. I just thought this was so beautiful where she said that I could walk in my garden forever floating in fragrances of what blossoms and splashes of lavender covers the flowers of its first drops of dew, but forever is not long enough to tend to the burning desire that hankers inside of you. And then she just goes on and she just, it just shows us with each season and with each of the florals how her love blossoms for this person. This is gorgeous.
Well said. Thank you, Hugh. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this also. She has a great voice for recitation. What she did with this piece, the word selection, the word play, beautifully done. It almost, to me, it almost had the flavor of a beat poetry.
Mm-hmm.
But beat poetry talking about love and romance. But it's really, it's a very, very well-constructed piece, very evocative, very romantic, very passionate, beautiful mm-hmm. writing. I've never read any of her work before, but I think I am going to have to expose myself to more of it.
Absolutely. Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Keith, what are your thoughts?
Well, I have a small thought. When she said that forever was not long enough, all I could think of was the novel series where the witch, this demigod series, gives up immortality to spend what is essentially a moment, a lifetime, with the son of Ulysses, and I sort of got hung up at that point in the poem.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a great comment. Thank you, Keith. Okay, so you have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. By Shannon?
Yes.
My Other Mother, Auntie Amelia, by Shannon Norman. What a life you have lived, so much like your mother. And you were there for me when I had no other. Cradled my gown body in your generous, loving arms. Treated me like the beloved daughter you'd protect from harm. I was in the doldrums, so weary and depressed. You made time for me even when life had you stressed. You made me feel special again and stored my hope and faith. You're my other mother, Aunt Leah. This is I sat. Thank you for every kindness that you shared with me. Please know I won't forget how you taught me to receive. You put me back together when I was broken down. These days, you're the best mother I've known and found. Happy Mother's Day to my other mother, Auntie Leah, mother of three sons and a daughter, su familia, the best chef I've ever seen work magic in the kitchen, and the best lady with a needle when a heart needs stitching. God bless you always. All my love, Tua Suka, in poem. Aw.
Beautiful read, Leah, and it's such a touching poem. She has so much respect and love and reverence for her beautiful aunt, who was like a mother to her, lifting her spirit when she was down and sad. So just a beautiful dedication to her aunt, her other mother. Beautiful, beautiful job. Bobby, what did you think?
I agree. It was a very lovely homage to, many of us, we have more than one mother in our lives. And it's nice to be able to acknowledge that presence to someone and how much they mean. And she's done a very fine job.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Keith, what are your thoughts?
Just a couple of thoughts. I was thinking of unconditional love. Aunt Leah never thought about whether or not to give love. And the other is, if you want a job done well, give it to a busy person. It seemed like Aunt Lee had a lot of other objects for her love in her life, but that did not deter her from giving unconditional love to the writer.
Absolutely, yeah. Well said, thank you. And I'm going to post the next poll here, if you wouldn't mind, please, Bobby.
Not at all. Hero in love. There we go. Hero in love. Hero in love. By Akio. Forgive me. I probably bastardized the hell out of that. Hero in love. The best friend that came along. An amazing companion who does no wrong. Amazing love between each other, strong like none other. What a powerful thing this friend does bring. I cannot say no when it comes in slow. Such a kind way to enter in, eases and pleases like the summer wind. Asleep so deep within the spell, my best friend wakes me like a distinct bell. It calls me to play again and again. I can't help but say now when it says when. I cannot say no when it comes in slow. Such a kind way to enter in, eases and pleases like a summer wind. What will become of the two of us? I will not withdraw. So pure this lure, I want more and more. If I cannot afford the love and more, what then to live for? I will die for this love I found, and this love will lay me down so softly in the ground. In corn.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And this is a deep poem. You know, it's just a fantastic take on the subject of being in love and dying for that love in the end. And I thought it was just a powerful statement on that subject. What did you think, Leah?
Well, I went to go look to see what this was written for, and it was written for a contest on, like, the struggle or something you're still struggling with. For me, I don't know if the struggle is that you would die for this person, because I don't see anywhere in here where it says that his friend is unfaithful or somebody that stabbed him in the back. but it just says that whatever they ask for, he just can't say no. So I don't know if that's the struggle, that he can't say no to this person who has been so faithful for them. That's just what I see.
Of course, it may not mean.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Lee. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
My impression of this, as I was reading it, it feels to me like the author is talking about addiction.
I don't know.
That friend that came along, an amazing companion who does no wrong. What a powerful thing this friend does bring. I cannot say no when it comes in slow. It calls to me to play again and again, but I can't help but say no when it says when. It feels like they're talking about some kind of an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
What will become of the two of us? I will withdraw. So pure this lure. I want more and
good
more.
Point.
And that's what it feels like. And this is so elegantly written and so subtle. It's almost like how an addiction would come over someone, I would imagine. I really think this is a very, very well written piece. Very impressive. Just the rhyming and the structure of it and subtlety of it. I will die for this love I've found, and this love will lay me down so softly in the ground. And that's what made me think this is an addiction of some kind.
Yeah, good insight. Absolutely. And Keith, what are your thoughts?
I'm still thinking about the reinterpretation. I think maybe I agree. I had seen it as a sort of sensual love, but addiction makes a good deal of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Excellent comments, everybody. Okay, well, that's it for tonight, folks. Thank you for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. And Keith, thank you for calling in tonight and sharing your time with us. It's greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Enjoyable.
Enjoyable. And I sent you the link to Late Night Poets so that you can join in. It'll be easier for you to comment. Yeah, because you can follow along in the group and comment in the group.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
call in anytime. Any of the shows. You're wonderful to have on the show. And Bobby, thank you so much for calling in to share your heart, your mind, your
voice.
Thank you,
Ms. Bobby.
Most especially your time. Love you all. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys. Besitos.
Good night.